The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Thanks for being with us. We have Goody on board today. Bill Goody, chief film critic for Gannett and AZ Central. We're going to break down the Olympic coverage. We're also going to talk politics, but not our political views, beliefs, just how it's being presented so far, because I think in the last month, things have changed just on the media. It's media that we do, Bill and I. And that is coming up here momentarily. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, that is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support. In all honesty, I have my mind elsewhere today. I have my mind on USA against Serbia coming up here. Doesn't mean I'm not going to deliver a high-quality opening commentary, because I will. Doesn't mean that Bill and I won't be great, because we will. If anything goes wrong with this show, it is Jared Nielsen's fault. He is the chairman of the board. Anything gets screwed up, blame him, not me. The USA against Serbia. So Jokic, there's been this story floating around, or this idea floating around, that the USA, they've met Serbia, played Serbia before the Olympics in the qualifying stage. In the early stage, they met Serbia, and that Jokic and Serbia have just rolled over like dogs and had their belly scratched because they didn't want to show anything or do anything. I happen to subscribe to that theory. I think there's times in tournament play, because it's not single elimination, where you don't show every last thing. Why would you? I don't think the USA has shown every last thing. I think they've just rolled the ball out on some occasion. Not every game. You can't just roll the ball out today against Serbia. You're thinking, we are the big bad USA. I will tell you, it just takes one tip in at the buzzer, and all of a sudden is what is wrong with the United States? Why can't the United States win? They have all these players. It's Steve Kerr's fault. His players are this or that. They're this, they're that. There is a group that is just sitting there so close wanting to be critical. And I've really enjoyed the games. I have. I found myself at times watching 6-8 hours of my life go by like that. I found other times it's like, everybody's into this. I'm not. And it's not hating. It's just I have other things to do. I have a life. But I've taken the Olympics in. I've really enjoyed them. I think when I was, this will sound, date me a little bit, but back in the day, the Olympics had what they called the triple cast. There was the red, white, and blue channels. You paid a little bit more for each one, and you're able to see a little bit more. This time around, I've watched the Gold Zone. I like the Gold Zone. Gold Zone's fun. If they're doing judo, or they're doing handball, or they're doing canoeing, or they're doing something that I would never do, I will still sit there and watch. I don't know why, and I'm sure many of you are right there with me. Like this morning, the three of the girls on the USA women's soccer team, my wife owns the televisions in this house. She does. If the US women's soccer are playing, I don't get a word in edgewise. Doesn't happen. She is all about Team USA. That's her deal. This morning, three of the players are on the Today Show. I never watched the Today Show. She's all over it watching these three girls, and she's giggling and laughing like Savannah and Hoda are doing. It's just how it is, how it works. So, you know, we're going to talk some Olympics with Goody here momentarily. I think the big story in town, obviously, is the baseball team. If you're one of those that says, I will only support a team when they're good, when they're winning, because that's how it works here in Phoenix, not even apologizing for it. That's how it worked in San Diego, where I grew up. Doesn't work that way in Boston, doesn't work that way in Philadelphia, doesn't matter to me. I'm sitting here in Phoenix. And so if the team isn't good, why would you go support them? Why would you do that? This team is good. This team is fun. Yesterday, I was at Camp Tonizona. I drove down the hill. I listened to the Guardians broadcast because they didn't have the Diamondbacks over on Sirius. And first of all, I love their announcers. Their announcers are great. Secondly, the 5-1 road trip, and you go through Pittsburgh and Cleveland, and you go 5-1. And Eduardo Rodriguez wasn't half bad. And you lose Gabriel Moreno and you still go 5-1. But here's the bigger deal. The team to watch is tonight. It's the first of four with Philadelphia. And I wrote a couple weeks ago, the Diamondbacks could catch the Dodgers. Got laughed at, of course, Dodger fans and their air of arrogance. Oh, nobody's going to touch us. Well, guess what? Your team's banged up. Your team's hurt. When I've watched you play, you haven't played well. And all of a sudden, the Diamondbacks are right there. And they have a series with the Dodgers later on this month here. Four with Philly tonight. Big time. Jordan Montgomery, who hasn't been good. This is what we're paying $25 million for. This is where you show up on your one-year $25 million deal and you deliver. This is where you see him go out and it's not, he's around 80 pitches and it's only the fourth inning. No, this is six plus. This is where your horses come into play. This is Zach Gallen the other night at Cleveland. He wasn't great. Hung in there and did seven innings, delivered, dealed, found a way. So I'm of the opinion that look at Jordan Montgomery this year and it's not paid off. I don't think Ken Kendrick's happy to have another Madison Bumgarner contract hanging around his neck, but it's only a one-year deal. The bigger story is Eduardo Rodriguez yesterday was solid. I'll take 5 2/3 from Eduardo Rodriguez. I'll take the Diamondbacks adding another veteran arm. Yeah, he gave up a couple of bombs. It's his first time. He didn't even have a rehab start down the minors. When was the last time you heard that? Usually they go somewhere and get a rehab start. Didn't do it. And so, you know, the acquisition of Josh Bell. Josh Bell has been phenomenal for them. There's these players on this team, and this team's now won 18 of their last 23. They're in first place in the wild card. They may track down the Dodgers. But if you go through the acquisitions that have happened on this franchise this season as guys have gone, Christian Walker goes down, no problem. We're going to find Josh Bell. We may give up a little bit defensively or a lot defensively. Walker's a Gold Glover. Josh Bell's a big bat in the middle of the lineup. When Christian Walker comes back and you have Josh Bell as a DH, I'll take that all day long. Randall Gutschick gets a home run yesterday again, has two big hits. So there's guys on this roster, about the only guy on this roster that you look at is Sewald and say, what's going to happen there? I'm not banging on him, but look, if he goes out and struggles in his role, why would the Diamondbacks keep him? You know, I'm not for getting rid of him because we saw Justin Martinez struggle in the ninth inning yesterday. But I think there's got to be something of the, if we can't get him straightened out, here in the next 2-3 weeks, when we're coming down the stretch into September, we cannot afford to put him out there in a situation. You know, and for Martinez, it's the same deal. You're going to have a game where you're back a game, up a game, you know, postseason baseball, where you got to look down the bullpen and say, Paul Sewald's down there. He's of the right mindset. It's got to crush him to see them pass him over and pass him over. It's got to do that. But here's the other thing. Some people don't care about pitching or defense. All they care about is offense. So let me give you two numbers you can impress the people around your water cooler. 57 home runs since July 1st for your hometown heroes. 200 runs scored since July 1st for your hometown heroes. I mean, that's, and remember, a week off because of the All-Star break. So they've been crushing it. That's pretty much it. It's really the Olympics and, like, Camp T yesterday was fine. It was, I had a great conversation with Danny White, stood on the sidelines, visited with Danny, talked to Dillingham. Players are fine. I'd say right now that the quarterback battle, Sims looks a little bit better to me, just physically bigger, more athletic. Does he make the right decisions? That's the question. Levitt's got a big arm. That is the only question I've been getting from fans is what's going to happen with the quarterback battle. And really, they won three last year, bottomed out. U of A is going to win 9 or 10 this year. They are. And they should with all the talent they have. I'm looking at both in-state teams and the more interesting story. They're both interesting this year, by the way. Both of them are interesting. Because I think Kenny can double his win total. You win six, people are going to scoff at that. Remember, it's like when U of A had Kevin Sumlin, and they were the worst program in America. They were the worst. When you bottom out and crash and burn that badly as U of A did, and now they're back up top, it's pretty good. It's impressive. Kenny, same situation. players not wanting to be here, players bailing out. One other thing that people have been hitting me on is that this whole Jim Harbaugh thing we talked about on Monday with Wilner, and whether or not cheating is something that is just accepted. If you're not cheating, you're not trying mentality in sports. And then there is the, well, when you have somebody go on the road and videotape and stand on the sideline and say what's, that's above, that is above, that's crossing the line of cheating, or is it? Because if we win a national championship, that's what it's all about. Unfortunately, we do have a good part of the segment of society that only wants to hear that the cheaters won. If it's their team and they cheated, so what? You just didn't cheat as good as we did. It's really interesting. Goody is next. Stay with us. All right, as promised, Goody is with us. Bill Goody-Kuntz, chief film critic for Gannett AZ Central. 13 years ago when I had this idea of doing this, Bill would join us. We actually paid Bill back then, and we were able to keep the lights on. I think I'm going to be able to do that again sometime if you're interested.
That's free as fun.
Free as me. All right, plenty to get to. Let's get into the Olympics first and foremost, and the coverage of it and how it's felt to you as it's been presented. How has it felt?
You and I have seen a lot of movies together, and we've talked about, you know, things in a critical way, you know, that whether things we, and we've seen a lot of things we didn't like, and we've talked about those in a pretty honest and open way. I'm not a good reviewer of the Olympics because I love the Olympics. Mm-hmm. I think they're great. I love when they show old grainy footage with the big letters from, you know, from 1968 or whatever. I think it's great. All that said, I think they've been incredible. I think that I don't know how you watch, but I watch on Peacock. I try to have it on during the day, and I like the Gold Zone,
mm-hmm.
where they kind of do a wraparound or whatever, you know, whatever the most interesting thing is. Usually it's a medal contention thing, but you know, just kind of whatever. I mean, they just showed the end of a women's team handball thing right before we started here. That was fantastic, yeah. And I, you know, I love that stuff. I think that it's given, when I first saw that, I thought, oh, it's too much. It's because there are, you can literally watch every sport on Peacock live. Like they show, if you have a Peacock subscription, which is not too bad as those things go. You can watch every single event if you want to. You have to navigate around a little bit, but that's, you know, so what, that's life. But, I don't do that as much as I do the Gold Zone thing. And then, like the big dummy that I am, I'll often watch the recap at night as if I didn't know who won the 200 meters or whatever, you know. And it's just, and my kids and I will be sitting there like, go, go, go. It's like, even when you know, when I've actually seen the race and I know how it turns out. I think the Olympics are fantastic for the, and it doesn't matter. I don't mean this in like a sort of a jingoistic way, like, you know, I don't sit there and go like USA, USA or anything like that. I don't, you know, root for somebody though. You know, I mean, it's just fun to, it's the, part of the fun are the things that we only see every 4 years. I don't know about you, but I don't know a lot about team handball, but I do like to watch it.
When I watch kayaking and they go underwater, you know, and I want kayaking to get to a 50-foot cliff. 15, got it. I want 50. I want an oblique as they're going over the falls and down. I don't know how they do that, Bill.
The rapids or whatever. I mean, it's insane. Yeah. It's like, and I love it when they miss one and have to go back. And it's also great that they miss one. You know, of course, I like watching the men's and women's basketball teams, and I love track and field. I think that's, I mean, that's always a highlight. And much like the Winter Olympics, they now stage them in such a way that there's always, no matter any given day, there's going to be at least one big thing that you want to see. I mean, it was the gymnastics the first week. The second week, it's track and field. You know, they really know how to put on a show. They've been doing this for a while. But I think that some people have complained about the way that NBC has done it. Some of the announcing has, you know, sometimes better than others, let's say. Maybe missing the winner in the men's 100 meters, probably the highest profile race in track and field. You probably ought to get that one right before you say anything. I mean,
that
it's
was
not
so like close too. That one was so close. You need to, you know, that's one that I don't want to pound on the guy, but that is the spotter. That's the director. That is somebody in his ear saying, and then it's also the announcer wanting to capture the moment, and they've just got to take a breath, take a beat. Yeah. It's so close.
What is Vin Scully famous for? Silence.
Yeah, let the crowd take it.
You know, let the moment speak for itself a little bit. And talk about a moment speaking for itself. I mean, with the sprinters standing there like, you know, like they don't know. They're looking up at the scoreboard and trying to see. And I guess they all but one had a photo by their name, you know, because it was a photo finish. So that was kind of unfortunate. I mean, sometimes you got to – it's not like you're trying to break news of, like, who Kamala Harris picked for vice president or something. I mean, you know, there's you are the only game in town, so there's no chance that you're not going to be the first to report it. But overall, for the most part, I also think – and I got a little grief for this, but I think Rowdy Gaines is a little loud. I get that he's very excited.
Oh my gosh! Look at this! Look at this!
I would like. He's a lot like. He reminds me a little bit of Chris Collinsworth. Where I'd love a penny for every time they say, "I've never seen something like this before." And right. It's like, well, that you can only use that line like a couple times before it stops losing all meaning.
What about Dwayne Wade? What do you think of Dwayne Wade and Noah Eagle doing basketball?
I think they do a good job. I think that the thing that's weird to me about Dwayne Wade is how much he talks about doing it. Like he devoted 5 minutes the other day to saying, like, I'm not really an analyst. I'm just a basketball player. And it's like, well, you are an analyst and you're doing a fine job. Like, just, dude, get off Twitter. I mean, don't worry about what other people say about you. I mean, I just thought it was strange. I mean, and these games are not, you know, typically all that competitive when the U.S. is playing. So I get it. You got to talk about some stuff. You got to, you know, better than I do. You got to stretch a little bit.
You got to fill. But, but you know, Bill, the way that I'm seeing the games presented now feels much better. Maybe it was COVID. Maybe it was the time difference in the last Olympics. I'm not sure. I can go all the way back to the triple cast. Remember the triple cast in the 90s? You could buy a channel that would do one.
The red, white, and blue channels.
Yeah, right. And now, you know, I can stream, like you said, the Gold Zone is great. It's like the NFL Red Zone on Sundays during the NFL season. It's all fine. It just doesn't feel as banging me over the head saying, go USA, go USA. It does feel a little bit like we're presenting this. You know, Dwayne Wade, I'll use him as an example. He apologized the first game a couple times for saying we and us. I happen to like that. My understanding is the announcers have been told in production meetings, never say we and us. But there is Americanism that comes through on it, as there should be. So I think NBC is actually gotten it right this time, where I felt a few times in the past, like, guys, I don't need to be told that we're great and we're awesome and amazing in sports. I'll let the moment speak for itself. Does that make sense?
Yes. And to your point, one of the problems, particularly back then, was you'd get this, and this doesn't sound like long, but as you know, in TV, this is a pretty long time. You get a 4 or 5 minute feature on an American athlete, and you know, they're coming up in the 400 meters. Now they need to show them, and they finish eighth. You know, it's not like, but I'll tell you the opposite example of that was the 1500 meters the other day. They have this pretty funny lead in feature about the two front runners, the two favorites who are sniping at each other all the time in social media and everything, and just talking trash about each other. Neither of the American comes out and wins. I mean, that was actually pretty funny. But yeah, I think that it's a fine line. I mean, you can't. I've talked to Al McCoy about this. One of the things that I used to like about the way Al called games was, particularly when the Suns were bad, if they were playing against LeBron, he was not the kind of announcer who pretended LeBron wasn't great.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't. If LeBron was going for 40, he was going to say, this is a great basketball player. Doesn't matter that he doesn't play for the Suns. I mean, I'm not going to like pretend that you don't see what you're seeing. I think that they're doing a better job of that, because, I mean, the Americans really are dominating in track in places that I don't think anybody expected them to. I mean, nobody thought we were going to win the here I am with the we. Nobody thought that the U.S. is going to win the 1500 meters. I mean, that just wasn't going to happen. And that was fantastic. But I do think that it is. I mean, it is an international competition. So
how's Snoop Dogg been for you?
How can you not like him?
So smart, I think. I think it's been smart what they've done with him. I think if Mary Carrillo pops up with a feature, I'm sitting there watching. If Snoop Dogg shows up, I'm watching.
Well, and for all of the, you know, he's been everywhere. He and Martha Stewart are off at the dressage or whatever, looking like, you know, they're in the cover of Vogue or something. And they, but for all of the sending him around to all the different places, I honestly don't think they've overdone it.
Right.
Like, right. You get a little of them. You don't get a lot. It's not, they didn't spend 20 minutes of them sitting there watching horses jump or whatever. You know, they spent five good minutes of them talking about it. And Mike Tirico had him in the studio and they talked about how tired he was. He was, you know, he had been everywhere and he's like, and you know, it was like one of those, I'll sleep when I'm dead kind of things. You know, he was ready to go back out, but he was tired. And I think it's fun, and it's maybe this goes back to when I first started working, or even when I was in school. I like things that happen all day that give you an excuse to have the TV on all day. and I grew up to have a job where I do have the TV on all day, but I just think it's fun. I mean, as we're sitting here talking, the bike riding is going on. I don't know anything about it except that they go fast, you know, and they sometimes they fall down and they have like what look like wheels that wouldn't make them fast, but evidently do. And it's like, I love that kind of stuff. I just, when else are you going to, do you have an excuse to watch people do something you don't even really understand? I shouldn't say that because I watch a lot of CNN and Fox News and MSNBC. So I for other aspects
of stuff I don't understand.
There's a lot of stuff on there I don't understand.
I'm going to get over to that. One other thing on the Olympics. Where were you on the outrage or non-outrage of the opening ceremonies and how it was presented and what the theme was?
You know, I was traveling for the opening ceremony, so I did not. The extent of what I saw of the opening ceremonies was maybe 2 minutes of Celine Dion singing in an airport bar. I mean, I was in the airport bar. She was presumably at the base.
That would be great to see her in an airport bar.
Looked like she was at the base of the Eiffel Tower or something, and everybody's in. So I didn't see much of it. I think that, and what my question is, I'm not sure how much, at least live, anybody saw of it. You know, I feel like it was one of those things that from certain groups they kind of they saw something to get mad about, and so they just started popping it up on social media all the time. I think if that hadn't happened, I don't think anybody would have noticed. And again, I didn't see much of the opening ceremonies, so maybe there was 20 minutes on this, but that's not typically how they choreograph the opening ceremonies, certainly through TV. They're not going to show that for long. They may go to it and go away. I think that you see a lot of the same thing with the women boxers. You know, they're not trans athletes. They are women athletes. They have always been women. And I think among a certain, you just can't please some people. I mean, some people are going to get mad about stuff. It's like, you know, there's the 99 things that are going great, and there's the one thing that kind of ticked you off a little bit. And I think maybe it's just human nature that you're going to concentrate on that one thing, which I think is kind of a bit. But in the end, I think all this stuff gets drowned out because the games have been, I mean, it's been a really good games. I get what you're saying about like in 2021. The other weird thing was it was in 2021. It wasn't in 2020. It had been postponed. There was COVID. There weren't any crowds. It just felt almost like an obligation that they had to get
shoehorn this. Let's shoehorn this in. And
yeah. And this feels like the real thing. And I feel like the good has so much outweighed the bad. And, you know, and those same people are like, well, nobody's going to watch these games because everybody's offended. Well, actually, no, more people are watching.
Not even close.
Than they have in 12 years, at least.
Let me get you out of here on this. And that is the election. And it feels to me that I'm asking you this from a media perspective. You know, I don't care Republican or Democrat. I don't care. This is just how I see it right now. It feels like Trump is not owning the news cycle like he used to.
Absolutely.
In the last couple of weeks in particular, it used to just be Trump could do whatever and the news cycle would be his. And I'm not taking a stance on this. It's just pretty clear. He's not in control this time around. Is that fair to say?
It's 100% accurate to say. And I think, and from what the Washington Post had a big story today about how infuriating that is to him, that he is used to, if the attention is getting away from him a little bit, he can just say something really, you know, depending on your perspective, outrageous or offensive, and people will cover it. And it's fine with him. If it makes him look bad, he doesn't care. He is definitely of the old school, the old New York school of, you know, any news is good news. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, how bad it makes you look. I think that's the problem that he's facing now is he's playing the same old greatest hits. You know, it's just the sort of outrage, the, you know, fake news, you know, lies about the election and stuff like that. Joe Biden didn't seem to really have an effective way to counter that, you know, a way to get the attention to him. Kamala Harris, just by virtue of being Kamala Harris, being the new thing and the excitement that seems to be building around her campaign. And again, this is not a political thing. This is just an observational media thing.
Right.
I mean, there is more excitement clearly around her campaign, and that's taking away from Trump's attention, which he is someone who is clearly a big fan of attention, is not happy about. You know, will that last? I don't know. I mean, the Democratic convention is coming up here soon. So that'll have all the headlines. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be an interesting next couple months. I am not unhappy, by the way, that it's only going to be like a 3-month campaign and not like a 10-month campaign of people sniping at each other. Awesome. I'm all in for the sprint, you know?
Who do you lean into when you watch that is this person is presenting both sides and doing it in a fair manner? It may be a network, it may be a person, maybe an outlet that you're just, you know what? This person is trying to handle what is it, because it's so divided, and there'll be people that watch this. It'll say, well, you two are leaning this way or that way and all that nonsense. But is there a group or a person that you're like, you know what, in through all this, this person's been able to cut through it all with the machete?
I mean, everybody's going to, anybody you say, because of exactly what you're saying, it's so divided.
Yeah.
That you can't pick one person without everybody saying, oh, that guy's liberal, that guy's conservative, whatever. I think Jake Tapper does a good job. I think Dana Bash does a good job on CNN. Dana Bash, I think, has done some really good interviews in the past. She had a really good one with Carrie Lake in 2022. I think on Fox News, Neil Cavuto does a good job. He will not let Fox News is famous for letting people on and just to basically parrot Trump talking points. Right. Cavuto, I think on his show, does a really good job of saying, nah, not here, we're not doing that. And sometimes he'll just end the interview or in the feature, which I think is great. MSNBC, I think, you know, I watch them all. And sure. It's a weird thing at my house. If ever there's big breaking news, I'm like, I've got several screens set up and I'm like going around like kind of a mad scientist trying to find the one. It's not as hectic as it once was because you can now more easily rewind live television. But if you miss a quote, you can have I do a lot of going back and making sure I get the quote right. But I mean, I think they're out there. Of course, I look at various writers. But what I try to do is look at and read as much as I can from all sides.
Yes.
So you're not missing something. What I used to always write this, and I'll probably write it again. You know, you only got so many stories in you, but I think if you think of yourself as liberal on election night, you should watch Fox News. If you think of yourself as conservative on election night, watch MSNBC, because you know how you feel. You know how you think it's going to go. What's more instructive to you is how the opposite side feels.
Hmm.
If MSNBC starts saying it's looking really good for Trump, then you think, you know, well, maybe then Fox News, I don't think, would ever say that it's looking good for Kamala Harris, but they were the first to call Arizona in 2020 for Joe Biden. So who knows?
I'll let you go off that. Appreciate your time and insights as always. Thanks.
Thank you.
There's Goody, Bill Goody Coons. Follow all of his work on social and, of course, at AZ Central. And we're back with more after this timeout.